Wonderful Jesus. Heavenly Father, this is the day that Thou hast made for saints of God, for Your people, Lord, for the bride to come together from afar, from different places, Lord, to come sit together in heavenly places with Jesus Christ our Lord. And to come, Lord, not just to fellowship and to worship Thy great name, Lord, but to come and to know our Heavenly Father and all His grace, all His love and all His blessing, of what You mean to us, Heavenly Father, what You are to us, Lord, because Thou hast given us Thy Spirit, that we may know Thee, Lord, that we may know Thee, what You mean to us, Lord, who You really are, because if we are Your people, Father, Thou truly reveal Thyself to us this day. Never in the way, Lord, that things of old have known You as we know You today. And we thank You, Lord, for this privilege and for this blessing. Bless Thy word now, Lord, as we approach it in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. And to the book of Psalms, let us go to the book of Psalms 89. There are so many things of God's sure promises to David. We read from verse 19 to 29. Then thou speakest in visions to the Holy One and sayest, I have laid help upon you, upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him. Nor the son of the wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face. And bless them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I exalt for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. I want to bring a thought to you this morning as to the oil, the zeal, and the way. The oil, the zeal, and the way. The way. In this, I'll be talking about one of the greatest men that exists on this earth. Someone through whom God has given an example for us because we are His children. Here we have this psalmist giving a promise regarding someone, a holy one, whom God will anoint. And this holy one we know refers to Jesus Christ. But I want you to look at verse 20. I have found David my servant, and my holy oil have I anointed him. God has a special oil formulated, and He used this oil to anoint the servant David. And we know this does not refer to King David himself, but the one who is the King of Kings. Now I want you to know that every one of us sitting here today, if every one of us have received the Holy Spirit, if we have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then we have an anointing. We have an anointing from God. But there is something about this holy oil here. That this oil is specially formulated for one purpose. Let us go to the book of Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 30 and verses 22 to 25. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250, and of sweet columns, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels after the shekels of the sanctuary, and of holy oil, a hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compounded after the art of the apothecary or perfume, it shall be a holy anointing oil. Now, here God spoke to Moses about making a certain kind of oil. Now this oil that is formulated is a special recipe, so to speak, given by God to Moses. And this oil could not be used any other way except for the anointing of the priest. This is called the holy anointing oil. Now, when God has given this oil to Moses, nobody should meddle with this oil. It is not an ordinary oil. It is used for the service of the Lord. It is used for the anointing for the service of God. To bring about a certain purpose. You know, when God anoints the priest, they are to minister and do service in the tabernacle or the temple. It cannot be used to anoint anybody just anyhow. So we know today that we have the Holy Spirit. Every one of us who is born again receives the Holy Spirit. If you truly, truly are born again, and you have received that life, and you believe the word, that you have the Holy Spirit. And you and I know that the evidence of having the Holy Ghost baptism is not speaking in tongues. It's not living a good life. No, it is the believing of the Word of God. If God reveals something and you see it and you receive it, that is the evidence that the Holy Spirit is leading you into all truth. Now, I want to show you that this anointing, this anointing oil is the representation of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian believes that they have the Holy Spirit. But the question is, where or what does the Holy Spirit do to you or lead you to? It must lead you to something. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit is come, it shall lead you and guide you into all truth. And we all know that, don't we? Now, in the book of John chapter 2 verse 17, there is something about the Holy Spirit. If it comes upon our lives, if we are anointed by it, if we are filled with it, there must be something stirring in us. It will produce a zeal. And what does a zeal take you to? John chapter 2 verse 17. The Bible said, and the disciple remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. You know, Jesus, after he was baptized, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, he says, now the Lord has anointed me. Is that right? So now, when he went to Canaan, there was a marriage, then he went to the temple. When he went to the temple, he saw all this buying and selling. And he was really upset. So he made ropes, a cord of ropes, and began to chase out all these commercial money businessmen. And he said, my house shall not be a house of peace. You know, the Bible here says, the zeal of the Lord has eaten me up. The zeal of thy house has eaten me up. Jesus, when he was anointed, went to the temple and he saw all that going on. It tore him to pieces. It broke his heart. He cannot see the thing that is going on in the house of God. And that's why he cleansed the temple. You know, ministers of God, God has given the church, Christ has given the church the fivefold ministry. And these are special ministries. It's a Josuitic ministry. A Josuitic ministry. It isn't a Moses ministry. Moses called the people out of Egypt. Called them out of bondage. Bondage in the system. A religious system. A political system. The systems of the world. Moses called them out. The children of Israel were in bondage. But you know, Moses' ministry was so much. It was only so much. God would not allow him to go in. But he saw the promised land. And then God says, I'm going to appoint Joshua. And you know who Joshua was? He was one of those spies that went in to spoil the land, a promised land. Oh, there are a lot of goodies there. Sure, with all the goodies comes a lot of giants. With all that comes a lot of obstacles, problems. You know one thing? This life that we lead is not an easy road. We're not traveling on an easy road. There are many thorns on the way. And if God doesn't allow this, then you and I will be the laziest people on earth. It is a battle. And oh, when they saw that giant, all those other spices, we can take it. But Joshua said, he can. And Caleb, You know, the name Caleb means yep. Yep, like a dog. Yep, yep. You know how little puppy is like? Not an old dog, but this puppy. Usually, you know, when a dog, like human being, when they grow, they have no strength to say, they have no strength to shout. So yep comes from the, it has a connotation that it's a happy little puppy, yuppie. You know how little puppy is?
Oh.
And when Joshua said, we can't take it, Caleb says, yep, yep. Yep. And Caleb represents the church. Joshua represents the ministry. And you know, all those who knew the Moses for 20 and above, they all died out in the wilderness. And so you young people, you are very, very, very blessed. Yes. And I pray the Lord spare you from old age. Oh yes, the brother of love. What is he? When we go older, where is he? Where's the preacher? Oh. When we get older, we have a lot of friction. We work hard for the Lord. Yes. Moses. And we see even men like the Apostle Paul. There's a lot of frictions on them in the ministry that they do. Moses had to contend with all the murmuring, the grumbling, the unbelief. But you know, when God anointed Joshua, he told Joshua, you believe what Moses said. All the things that I have committed to Moses, you believe it. And I will lead you across. Now that's a simple ministry. Do we all believe in Brother Branham? Sure. We believe everything he said. All the anointed messages, all the truth and revelation he brought out. And you know, if the Lord gave Brother Branham an anointing to preach the word, remember the word that goes out. Just like Jesus said, when a soul went forth to sow, the seed is going to fall upon four kinds of ground. But not everyone who heard produces the fruit. Right? So then they sit there, yes, Brother Branham, I believe. And many of them say, amen, what Brother Branham said. But you know, not everybody really believes the word. Not everybody received the word. Because their heart wasn't right. Or because their heart wasn't the kind of good ground that God expected. Many hearing the hear not. But we have a Joshua ministry. Joshua took the people across. And Caleb. Oh, he was so happy. Because that was a ministry. And he being like a church. They received the word gladly. Oh, they say, yep, 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 happy. Something, something. Full of joy. And that's why God gave a special anointing in today's five-fold ministry. And if you have that zealousness, if you have that zealousness, if you have that oil, it produces a zealous and says, oh, my zeal for the house of God has eaten me up. You know, I have been around the world. When I see the churches there, or the thing that was going on, and the doctrine, the corruption, A preacher was only looking for money. That's all that is in your mind, for money. And you have preached of fornicating. Insincere. Dishonest. Corrupted and carnal. Corrupted and carnal. You know, it eats me up. And I see the people in the church. They know next to nothing about the Word of God. Don't know next to nothing about who God is. They can come to the church. They can sing, they can shout. And they can sing and shout for 1.5 hours. But no word was delivered to them. Oh, the zeal for thy house has eaten me up. You know, all true ministers, if you are anointed, if you have this special anointing, the zeal will drive you into the house of God. And make sure that you keep it clean and holy. That's what the oil was for. God did not anoint men with all this, with this special oil, so that they can make money out of you people. Oh, you know, you look at this charismatic preacher out there. They say they have the oil. But they are making money out of the people. They are making money out of the people. I have a special edition Bible. I have autographed in my own name. You know, you can have it for $100. And I specially pray over this Bible for you. And this is limited edition. Oh yes, this has been going on. Benny Hinn is one of the great culprits. Tell him, oh yes, there's somebody here and some trying to imitate Brother Branham. Impersonation of Brother Branham. You know, I can say this today, this morning. Right now here, the Lord wants to bless you. The Bible said it is better to give than to receive. And sitting right here today, there are 20 of you who have 100 pesos in your pocket. The Lord wants you to give it to me. Half of you have 50 peso note in your pocket. The Lord wants you to give it to me. Anybody can give a number and everybody knows that here you are sitting here, you have got money. You know, but people are so easily deceived. Because they come and they watch a man, an entertainer, trying to give somebody the Holy Spirit by pushing the person. What's going on in the world today? Not only in the politics, but in religion. It's a lot of religious activity. Now today, it's Christmas. On the CNN, this morning, I saw the live telecast. Live from the Vatican. Christmas Mass. Christmas Mass. I don't know, but Christmas is already Mass, but Mass. And you know, the Pope is sitting there, and there are a lot of audience sitting there, and they go to all that Latin hocus pocus, what Santos and Nino and whatever. I don't understand the word, it's all in Latin. And then they will bring the big book, the Bible. And the priest will move and walk around the audience. And then the Pope will say a few things. And then they will go to the ritual. I don't know how long it takes. Oh my. People are religious, isn't it? Especially in the world where Catholicism rules. You have a high percentage of religious people. Yes. Christmas and Holy Week. People are always busy getting themselves religious. Every year. It's a ritual. You know, brother and sister, I say this often when I come here. Don't be religious. Because God is not in religion. God is not in your religious activity. But you have to be spiritual. People who are spiritual are people who understand the word. People who receive the Holy Spirit. They are spiritual people that wanted to know more about the word. Because the Holy Spirit can only take you to the word. Reveal to you the plan and purpose of God. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you religious. It doesn't make you speak in tongues and get all excited and emotion, which He does. But that is not the ultimate. The ultimate is to take you to the Word. To the Word. That you will know that you are part of the Word. Yes, high time every one of us. Not just the minister, but every one of us must have that zeal for the house of God. When you see a brother, when you see a sister, oh, you know that they need the help to get their life straightened out. Pray for them. Help them. Love one another. Forgive one another. And edify one another. That's what the Holy Spirit has given you for. My zeal for thy house has eaten me up. You know, many people have the wrong oil. They don't have the Holy Spirit. If you have the wrong oil, your zeals are all wrong. Your zealousness to do something for God is all wrong. Right in the book of Leviticus chapter 10. And we see here in verse 1 and 2. The sin of Nadab and Abihu. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them, his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. You know, the temple ministration. There is a certain time, a certain order that God laid out for the minister to do. But here we have the sons of Aaron, two sons. They did things that God did not ask them to do, and God said not to do that. Only just our brother Branham said. They are men doing God a service without it being His will. Doing God a service without it being God's will. And that's what Nadab and Abihu were doing. They offered strange fire to God. And God spoke them then. You know, today, we are not under the law. And a lot of ministers who doesn't realize that, that the judgment of God is to be at the end of your life. God will not judge them now and then. You know, there are those that say, oh, if I'm wrong, God strike me then. If I'm wrong now, God strike me then. Now, strike me now. You think God will do that? No. God will reserve His judgment today, to the day you stand before Him. And we have many ministers with the wrong kind of oil, and so they are having the wrong kind of zeal, and they are trying to help build the house of God. How can they build the house of God when they don't even have that anointing, when they do not even know the move of the Spirit, but they feel that they have the anointing? They feel that because, like the denomination, because they have been to the seminary, the Bible schools, or because, like in hand down message, or they have read a certain number of books, heard a certain number of messages, they think that, well, because they have this knowledge, they are called to preach the word. But they didn't know that it wasn't God's will. That's why when I come to the Philippines, India, Africa, Sri Lanka, you know, I see many of these ministers there. Sometimes I just look at them. Oh, I wonder how many of them are deceiving themselves. Did God call you? Oh, yes. What is a ministry? I'm a pastor. Did God call you? Yes. What's a ministry? I'm an evangelist. So they claim. I'm no judge. But I discern. I discern the person that claims to have a ministry. You know, it is said that the proof of the pudding is in the eating. The proof of the pudding or the pie is in the eating. So we have to just watch what the man, whatever he said, whether there is any fruit. Whether there any evidence. I can go back another 2-3 years. He may be a pastor, but the people are just here and there. He may be an evangelist, but no sheep ever got saved. Nobody ever got converted. But the most important thing, if there is a true zeal in the life of people, it has to involve the house of God. It involves the house of God. And if your zeal is true, then you have the true anointing of God. You see, King David, he says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. If you are anointed of the Holy Spirit, concern the house of God. Why the house of God? Why? Because that's where the word of God is supposed to be. Is that right? Ye are the house of God. If you have the word, you'll get you deeper into the word. Isn't that true? from glory to glory, from word to word. We keep going. We trust more of what we have received. We trust more for what we receive. Church. You know, in Singapore, the whole of Asia, Singapore being a small island, it's the smallest of all the nations here. But we are the largest, the number one consumer of bullion. Singaporeans eat bullion like pigs. Like pigs. We eat bullion like we are greedy pigs. Millions of dollars were spent buying durian from Malaysia, from Thailand, from Indonesia. You know, before even the durian season comes, people thirst for durian. And I love durian. When I went down to Butuan one day, Butuan City, and they told me, "Brother God, there is durian here." I said, "Okay, let me try." I went down to the fruit cellar. I saw the basket of durian. I walked away. I said, "That's not fit to be eaten. Because this durian are rotting away." He said, "When we thirst for more of the fruit of God, we want more of the fruit of God. But if somebody show you something and said that is the truth of God, but the moment you see it stinks, you said, that's not what I want. That's not what I want. The zeal of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, will take you to the house of God. It concerns the word of God. It concerns God's people. But the word, the zeal must have a proper way." In Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, John the Baptist, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." The way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And that's why when he came out of the wilderness, he began to scream and preach. He began to cut down all those high mountains and raise up the valley, making the path of the Lord straight. That's what the anointing is all about. It gives the zeal and it helps us speak the way of the Lord straight. When we help one another, we help one another to be straight. Preachers got to be straight. When we deal with the people in the church, we got to make sure that we are actually making the path straight. It is not man's way, but God's way. Because we are not preparing the people according to our way. It is according to God's way. In the book of John chapter 1, verse 36 to 38, here was Jesus. And here were the disciples. The disciples asked Jesus, said, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? Where do you dwell? Rabbi, where do you dwell? Jesus, where do you dwell? Jesus says, come and see. Follow me. Where did Jesus dwell? Where did Jesus dwell? Where did he dwell? He dwelt in the Word. Jesus dwelt in the Word. And the disciples follow him, yes. It's not just a home. It's not a hut. It's not out there in the wilderness. Why he says the foxes have holes, the bird has nest. But the Son of Man has no place to place his head. No, this is not the place where Jesus dwells. No. He dwells in his word. He did not dwell in the house of Joseph, the carpenter. No, he dwells in his word. Where did Jesus live? Oh, he lived in Nazareth. No! He didn't live in Nazareth. He only stayed in Nazareth. He only stayed. You know the meaning of live and the meaning of stay? Stay means temporary. Stay is temporary. I stay in the hotel, but I don't live in the hotel. So where do you live? Cavite, Das Marinas, Laguna. Where do you live? We are all believers. We are all born again children of God. Where do you live? You follow Jesus. He says, come and see. The disciples followed Jesus and they realized after 3.5 years that Jesus Christ lives in the Word. And you are born of His Spirit. So where do you live? We live in the Word. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Oh, I'm only staying here. Are we only staying this earth temporarily? Because we are just making a journey. But we live in the Word. You see, the oil give you the zeal concerning the house of God. Concerning the house of God. But the house is the body of Christ. And the Word of God is in the body of Christ. It's alright. Because the believer dwells in the Word. And that's why your anointing must give us that zeal to walk the straight road. Because the Bible says, straight is the way. Narrow the gate. Few enter in. Sure. That's how Jesus walked. The straight road. Not the crooked road. Not the crooked road. Because we have many preachers in the end time. Oh, they are so crooked. Oh, they are so crooked. And you know when I see that? I see the people who are following such a minister. I cannot understand how could people support that kind of a minister. I've seen that in Nigeria, where Brother Bilo Joseph came from. I saw it over in Uganda. I saw it over there in Kenya, Zambia, India, Sri Lanka, right even here in the Philippines. You know, brothers and sisters, Brother Mel make a statement, a very simple statement. He said, you find the best teacher you can find and follow him. Find the best teacher who can minister the word of God to you and follow him. Right? You are what you are, what you eat. If you follow a man who is corrupt, you're going to be corrupt. Alright? If you follow a righteous man and receive a righteous man, you get a righteous man's reward. If you receive a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. If you receive a true one, you get a true reward. You get a false one, you get a false reward. Do you understand? Oh Jesus, where do you dwell? Where do you go? Well, you're such and such a group. No, we don't belong to such and such a group. We don't dwell with such and such a group. We fellowship with such and such a group. But we dwell in the body and of the word. Right? Now, if we have this oil, it's going to take us to the word, to know the way. We need to know God better, that is to say. I want you to show you a man in the book of Genesis, chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Here was God's promise to Abraham. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy great exceeding great reward. Oh. We won't be here today if it was not for this man. Is that alright? Think about it. But who was Abraham? Who was Abraham? Abraham was a pagan. Do you know that he was a pagan? After the flood, the three sons of Noah populated the earth. All those descendants, many of them just practically lost the true worship of God. And right now, by the time when God looked down upon this earth, he saw Abraham. Abraham was living in the land of Mesopotamia. Fertile crescent. They call it the fertile crescent. And there in the wood of Chaldee. Ooh, the wood of Chaldee, the city of wood. Right now, at that place, Abraham was living there with his father, mother, uncle, auntie, cousins, and nephew, and nieces. And every one of them a pagan worshipper. They worship idols. Imagine that. And Abraham grew up among them. You know, I was like that when I was young. My father's first wife, because my father has two wives. But I always mention that. The brother might say, ah! How can Brother God be a preacher when his father has two wives? I wonder what have my father's two wife got to do with me being anointed. I don't have two wives. My father has two wives, so what's the problem? And they said, no, he cannot be a preacher because, you know, his father has two wives. That's stupid. But you know, they want to find fault. Now, when I was raised up, my father's first wife, she was a Buddhist, but also sometimes in Buddhism, some people cross over the line to actually some sort of idol worship. So I remember growing up in the house, and there is the kitchen God, then we are the front door God. Yes. And so I grew up knowing nothing because I was a little boy. But every time there is a festival, there will be a table laid out with food. You have the chicken, you have the dog, you have the pig, the lachong. Yeah. This is maknok and lachong, you know. There's a little piglet, oh my. And all the food down there. And we're not supposed to touch the food until first we offer it to the idol. So of course, all the children have to line up. You know, waiting for the time. There is a certain time to pray. So, you know, my father first, why you pray? Then they make every student take a joystick and pray, you know. Then because we are little children, all we are interested in is the food. So you cannot touch the food until the God, the kitchen God, whatever God, eat it first. And then we get the chance to eat. You see, this is the kind of environment Abraham grew up. You know that even his uncle, Nahor, Terah, they all were idol worshippers.